Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 25th, 2011, episode 257, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse people.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Jamie, Jennifer and I came up with a solution to your never-ending gopher problem.
Were you at my house yesterday? Did you see the horrible day that I had yesterday after we ended the show? I don't know if they get any better. And the root evil incarnate of my problem lies with the gophers. And you didn't even know that, did you?
No, I didn't, actually, but we did find a solution to your gopher problem. It's going to cost you only $29.99, and you will solve your gopher problems, and you will be amazed at how well it works.
Seriously? $29.95?
As seen on TV.
Oh.
I'm telling you. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. So I assume, I was going to ask you this morning if you still had a gopher problem. Before we talked about this, but apparently, from what you just said, you do. Yesterday
they
wasn't so good, huh?
Are the bane of my existence, Glenn. I moved into this place, and nobody had taken care of the gopher problem for years before. And, you know, you think about, if you could, have you ever seen one of those, pictures of the iceberg? And you see the iceberg that is sitting on top of the water, and then you can see how much of that iceberg actually sits below the water, and you're, like, amazed that there's that much going on under the water. That is much like, I believe, under my property, where you see this house and this farm, and we have horses, and we got fencing, all this. If you could imagine what goes on underneath my ground. Apparently, these gopher holes can stretch, the gopher tunnels go 18 feet deep and span 20, 30 feet long. I've been doing some research. I'm out for blood now. I think I'm going to have to get a gun. Although I've never even seen one. So I don't know what to do, but if you can help me, this is going to be amazing. I need help.
Well, the problem with gophers is they're a lot like rats. They reproduce very quickly, and they only live for 2 to 3 years.
In desert climates, they reproduce 3 times a year, and they can have 6 to 12 babies each time.
There you go. But they only live for 2 to 3 years, so that's a good thing. It means you're just getting a new crop. You're getting a new energetic crop every 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. yeah,
all right, we're going to do this. We're going to go to Jennifer. We have tons of guests today. So we're going to go to Jennifer, and then we're going to do our Daily Winnies, and then I will help you with your gopher problem. So take it away, Jennifer.
Sorry. On today's Pfizer Animal Health Tuesday edition, we start out with Kristen Vail of the Horse Shows in the Sun, hits to most of us. HRTV is going to be covering some of the Socrates show that just recently happened up there in New York, so she's going to be talking about that. And from New York, we'll be heading across the pond to chat with Martin Donahoe of County Kilkenny, Ireland, and he's going to be chatting about the Gores Bridge Event Horse Sale, the link to which Jamie very kindly sent me, and I wasted an entire day watching the performance videos of the horses for sale there. Thank you very much, Jamie. Red-eye flight back to the United States by way of Cincinnati Airport in Ohio, because you can't get a direct flight from anywhere, from the fantastically beautiful Bluegrass Airport here in Kentucky. It's All-Tech National Horse Show trivia time again, and this is your last chance, folks, to win a couple of general admission tickets to the National Horse Show coming up here in Lexington. And to make it a nice, neat round trip, it's back to Europe for our regularly scheduled dose of Across the Pond horsey headlines and vibrant videos from Horse and Country TV. So enjoy the ride.
Yeah, a full day today, and I have a day. My daily Winnie goes out to our Norco friend Jennifer Wells. She was the one we talked to a couple weeks ago, if you remember, Jamie, that was competing in the trail competition that's being shown, was done by AXA, and is being shown, and she is actually on the air tonight. It's AXA, ACTHA.TV. She needs the support of all of our listeners. They'll be voting from 6 p.m. tonight through October 25th at 5 p.m., and you can vote for Jennifer and her mule. She had the mule, if you remember right, and she posted a couple pictures on our page, Jester. So you can stop by our page at Facebook at Horses in the Morning and see the links there, or just go to AXA.TV and you can watch it there as well. So good luck, Jennifer. We're rooting for you and we'll vote for you for sure. And we hope that by the time we get to Norco, we'll know that she's a winner.
My daily Winnie goes out to the dear, sweet lady, the president of my homeowners association, for calling me repeatedly yesterday during the show. Of course, I was unable to answer the call, then leaving me a frantic message telling me to call her back. When I did call her back, she was incredibly helpful, letting me know that I have a problem on my property. We got our irrigation, which is our flood water, that comes in from the back of the property, and we flood our entire property. It happens about once every couple weeks. We get the water, and you have to buy the water ahead of time, and you can put on the schedule. And so that's what happened yesterday. So we are getting our flood water during the show. Well, I get these phone calls frantic, and I don't know who it is, so I don't answer. I'm like, whatever, somebody's trying to sell me something. No, it was my fantastic HOA manager letting me know that my water that I have paid for, that's supposed to water my grass, is running out the front of the property and down the street, flooding my next door neighbors, the neighbor after that, and then the neighbor after that.
Oh, no.
Flooding their front yard. And so I say, well, I don't know why that would happen. I don't know what to do. I'm walking outside. I'm on the phone with her. She goes, well, let me just let you know that I believe you have somewhat of a gopher problem. You don't say. Thank you very much for that fantastic information. So here's what happened, Glenn. The gophers have. They have lined up on the front of our property out by the road. I don't know if that's just because I haven't killed enough out there with the smoke bombs that I've been lighting, but the gophers have tunneled now so much in the front of our property that sits up higher than the road, because that's what holds the water in. They've tunneled so much that their holes collapsed from my front pasture through my fence down towards the road. And it was like a dam breaking. And all of my water that I paid for to water my grass disappeared down Citrus Road to never be seen again, except for the complaints that were then lodged by my next door neighbor, the neighbor next to them, and the neighbor next to them for having flood water in their front yard.
Well, they got extra. They didn't have to pay for it, right? They got extra water.
I know. It's like free water. Hello.
Okay, so
they didn't like
I have a question here. I don't know the answer to it. So if you flood your entire property and the gopher holes and everything, why doesn't it kill the gophers? Why don't the little suckers just drown?
You would think that it would. Apparently, they have ways, as little gophers, they have ways of surviving it. And they love irrigation properties because that makes the roots of the grass more delicious. And we've been wondering why the grass on the front of our property has been dying. Number one, I guess the surplus of gophers underneath the ground have been eating the roots to our grass. Second of all, the water has not been staying in our yard. It has been running out the front of the property down the road because there's so many stinking gopher holes that I don't know what to do. So I would also like to Daily Winnie, the fun, entertaining sweetheart of a man, and I'm using those words because we are on the air, who stopped while I was out there trying to fix my property out there by myself yesterday morning, who pulls over and leans out the truck door and he goes, "Hey, you got a little too much water, did you?" I said, "No. I didn't get too much water. The gopher's holes collapsed and it's run. I think you got too much water there, little lady. What you got over there?" Why is it so hard for people in the West Valley to recognize what a jump arena looks like? There's jumps out there. He's like, "Hey, you know, you got that whole obstacle course you put out there. You may just want to bring back the water a little bit because you didn't need that much water because you got the whole obstacle course." I'm like, "That's a jump course. It's not an obstacle course." Not.
And what would that have to do with getting too much or too little water? I don't get it.
Well, we built a riding arena out there, so obviously we don't need to flood our riding arena. Thanks to this genius, told me to get less water. Well, maybe we did, you idiot. It's not too much water. Oh, and he's like, "Hey, you know what you want?" And again, I'm sitting there with a spade and a shovel, and my blood is boiling at this point. And this dumb hick is leaning out his truck. He's like, "Hey, you know what you ought to do is you need to get somebody to come out here and take care of this problem for you, you know." And I said, you know what? I got it pretty much under control right now. I talked to the lady with the HOA and the irrigation. He goes, That's my wife. And what you need to do is you need to call." I was like, "I've got to talk to your wife. You go home and you talk to your wife. I am tired of talking to you. Take your truck home. Get in your car. Go away. Leave me alone." I was so mad. Why did
now, does the lovely wife, the HMO wife, have any suggestions for how to get rid of the gophers?
She informed me, Glenn, that we did have a particularly severe gopher problem and that nobody had ever addressed the gopher problem in the years prior to us living here. And I said, "Well, what
so you inherited you the gopher problem?"
Yeah, no, they didn't move in with us. I didn't bring, they're not some pets I brought, shockingly enough. I did not bring more animals onto the property. No, she had absolutely, she was absolutely no help. More just, I'm going to.
On the other hand, because I love you and you are my partner and I want to help, I have the solution to your problem. Are you ready to hear it?
Oh, my God, I'm so ready. You just have no idea what perfect timing this is when I do.
Well, here we go. All right. You ready? I'm going to play it for you. This is the commercial for the product as seen on TV.
Those little critters are at it again, tearing up your yard and creating unsightly mounds and holes that also make for dangerous footing. If you've tried all those other products and nothing seems to work, then get the one guaranteed to work, the Critter Getter. What makes Critter Getter so powerful and effective is the use of carbon monoxide from your car or truck. That's right. One end of the Critter Getter attaches directly to your exhaust pipe, and the other goes into the hole or burrow. With 50-foot of hose, you can usually get where you need to go, and longer lengths are available. Run your vehicle for 15 to 20 minutes, and the pests are gone, guaranteed. Use any vehicle, gas or diesel, to get the job done. Critter Getter works to rid your yard of chipmunks, moles, gophers, voles, ground squirrels, even prairie dogs. And there's no traps or lingering poisons to deal with. To get your own Critter Getter, first click on the Sizing Instructions tab to make sure you're purchasing the proper size for your vehicle. Then click on the Our Products tab to see all the Critter Getter products
and choose the critter getter that's just right for you.
There it is. Gas those suckers out. And you know it's environmentally friendly because now instead of your car spewing emissions into the air, you're going to be spewing the emissions into the ground. You can gas those suckers out. You don't need any special product. You just run your car.
Glenn, I've got to say thank you. That's awesome.
And it's at Critter. And you think I'm joking. This is not a joke. CritterGetterOnline.com, CritterGetterOnline.com, for a mere $29.95. If you order today, you can get the up to 3-inch homeowner critter getter, and that will come with 50 feet of hose. Now, that's probably not enough to get to the back of your property, so you're going to have to get the HC2 up to 3-inch homeowner critter getter, and that comes with 50 feet of homeowner critter getter plus 50-foot extension. That's 150 feet of total length of critter getter for $78.40. Buy it now, have it shipped overnight, stuff that into your tailpipe, stuff it into the hole, and gas those suckers out.
You know, I realize with the smoke bombs that I've been putting into the ground, it is much like your idea for the critter getter. But mine only probably lasts, like, the smoke bomb probably goes off for, like, a minute. You know, this sucker, they say leave your truck running for 15 to 20 minutes.
I'm saying leave it running the entire frickin' day. That's what I'm saying. Just leave it running 24 hours a day. Keep shoving that sucker into a different hole, and I guarantee you, as seen on TV, you're going to get rid of your moles and gophers.
You know, Glenn, my birthday was just a couple days ago, and I would not refuse this as a gift if it were to arrive at my house. I mean, imagine how much good mileage we would get from this on the show. This is so
fantastic. I just may order it from you just so we can hear a report on the critter getter, because judging by the looks of it, it's an interesting, very cheap-looking thing. But, you know, who knows? Stranger things have worked, right?
I don't understand what exactly is the $30 that you will be investing. I mean, it's like a trash bag you duct tape. Like, I could duct tape a trash bag around my exhaust pipe.
Well, you could do that, but this comes with a handy plastic hose that goes all the way to the hole, and then it comes with the little plastic thing that sticks in the hole, and it comes with a little plastic thing that hooks over your tailpipe. So I think that all those little plastic things put together is what you're paying for. Now, you could probably make those plastic things at your local hardware store.
You know what, though? I think it's worth it just to have them do it. I would like to tell you, though, that can you imagine if I was sitting out there and that redneck idiot drives up in his pickup truck and he's like, hey, looks like you got a little bit of a problem. I'll be like, you know what, back your truck on up here and run it for me for about 15 minutes. Do you mind? Thanks. Just don't mind the hose going back into your cab. No, just kidding.
Well, there are a couple warnings for the critter getter, though, that I have to warn you about. And
this doesn't sound like it's a healthy thing.
If you notice any discoloration of the hose or strange smell around the point of connection, immediately shut off their vehicle. Some folks find that they could leave their critter getter connected until their vehicle runs out of gas. Others do not. So you kind of be careful, because apparently we don't want to asphyxiate two things that aren't supposed to be asphyxiated. And then one of the customers from Texas has a neat trick, extreme fumigation overkill. Apparently, he had some of his industrial-sized gopher gassers, these huge commercial-grade gassers, they make normal ones that look like little pipsqueaks, left over from a previous fumigation attempt. After becoming a little aggravated with his particularly persistent pest, he stuffed one of these gassers down a hole and then rammed the critter getter in behind it to force the gas down the burrow. Haven't heard from him ever since. And I'm not sure whether that was they haven't heard from the Texans or the gophers. They don't really say. So you have to be real careful.
That guy blew himself up, didn't he?
He's going to be in the news headlines next week. Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? I was actually, while we were just
discussing this. I Googled Critter Gitters, and I did read a little bit of a blog that was exciting, and it said, you know, a lot of times I've used a Critter Gitter, and it doesn't actually kill them underground. One of them came running. I need to post this on Facebook because one of them came running up, at coughing and sputtering as it popped out of the hole. And I walked up to it and I kicked it, and now the gopher's gone.
Oh my God!
I did not do that. I'd be like, oh God, I need some oxygen. Come here. I don't want to see them. I don't want to know they're there. That's why I like this, because there's no setting a trap and pulling a dead gopher out of the ground, nothing like that. This is some serious, like, it's dead and it's still down there. Kind of
well,
the idea with the gopher gas.
You knew you had a problem, but now that the neighbors have confirmed you have a problem, you definitely have a problem.
This problem is going to, like, I'm going to get fined by the HOA. I'm going to lose rights to get water because I'm flooding everybody else's property, too. This is only going to get worse. This is bad going worse, and I work on this every day. I don't understand how much harder, what else I could do, except for the critter getter. Can't even say it. Critter getter.
All right, let's get
Thank
to our
you.
First guest. We have our first guest on the line, and I'm sure she's thrilled she's here right now after we're talking about Jamie's gopher problem. Her name is Kristen Vail. She's show manager for the hit series. That's Horse Shows in the Sun series. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm great, and I've had a great time listening to all the info on the critter getter. I'm going to look it up myself.
I'll tell you what, you guys have a problem at the showgrounds with gophers because apparently they're becoming a real issue at horse farms across the country.
That's interesting. Actually, we've not had gophers, but I tell you what, at our Ocala facility, we do actually have what they call gopher turtles, which are burrowing turtles, and they're actually a protected species, and so I don't think that we could use the critter getter on them either.
I got to make money. I got to call the critter getter people and say, I want a commission for every one of these we sell because,
right?
You know, it's just crazy enough to work, you know?
It is. If nothing else, it certainly is entertaining.
That's right. Jamie's not finding it so entertaining. She's about to get kicked out of the neighborhood.
Oh, no, I'm finding it enticing at this point. I might just buy it.
That was sort of what I was thinking, just to see what it really does.
Yeah, what the heck? Yeah, at this point, you have nothing to lose.
Exactly.
So
I'm going to park my truck on my front yard and just let it run.
That diesel rumbling away all day. All right, we're talking about a couple of things. HRTV, actually, our friends over there set up this interview with you today. Mm-hmm. And apparently they have some shows coming out. They covered the Pfizer show, right? Is that correct?
Yes, they certainly did. They covered our Pfizer Million Grand Prix, which is sort of our year-end finale, really, to our horse shows. It's the richest Grand Prix in, if not in the world, certainly in North America. We give away $1 million on a single day. We have 40 competitors who qualify throughout the year at our horse shows, and it comes down to a sort of a big spectacle day that we put on at our home facility here in Saugerty.
And they're going to be showing that soon? Is that the deal?
They are. You know, I apologize. I don't actually know the air date.
Okay,
that's
well,
sad.
You can check your local listings. Yeah, you can check your local listings for that. And many people like us here in Lexington, believe it or not, don't get HRTV on our cable, but you can watch it online. You just go to their website, and you can sign up, and you can actually watch it there. But you're also in charge of the hit series. Is that right?
I am, actually. I'm the show manager for our East Coast horse shows. As you said, HITS stands for Horse Shows in the Sun, sort of a little moniker name that we have. It actually started in 1982. Tom Struzzeri, the owner and president of the company, rode horses, trained horses, and was taking his customers to horse shows and thought, you know, someone can do this better. And he decided he was the guy who could do it better. And so he slowly but surely sort of transformed from being a rider and trainer into being a show manager himself. The first horse shows he ran were in 1982 in Gainesville, Florida. That's the shows that now comprise our 9-week-long HITS Ocala Winter Circuit. And then we also run shows in Virginia and Saugerties, New York, and then California and Arizona.
Wow, so they have shows out your way, Jamie.
They do. I've heard of them.
Jet is becoming, your horse is becoming a super jumper, too, and you actually win money with jumpers unlike Aventer, so just saying.
Right,
yeah.
It is certainly money. And I tell you what, we have quite a few, certainly in Ocala, because that's a big eventing area, we have quite a few eventers who come and, you know, show in some of our classes to get more practice for the stadium jumping portion of the 3-day eventing.
Well, they have to, because they have to pay their bills somehow, and to get a check at one of your shows would pay for a couple horse trials where they win nothing.
Well, you know, Jamie has this thing, every guest we have on, we have all these Western guests on who are winning tons of money, and these jumpers who are winning tons of money, and she keeps eventing where they don't win anything. You know, those ribbons that you pay $600 a show for are great, too.
They are. They're very
pretty.
They're
totally worth it.
It's Pick on Jamie Day. Hey, the other thing, too, now this runs, your series actually runs in the South, and I assume in Arizona. Does that run then through the winter?
It does, exactly. Our winter circuits are the California, Arizona, and Florida circuits. We run from about the middle of January until the middle or end of March at all three of those locations. So we run all three of those simultaneously.
And how many riders will ride, you know, at each one of these shows? Can you give us some numbers?
Yeah, absolutely. In Ocala, we probably have almost 2,000 horses a week. You know, some of those horses stay the whole time. Some move in and out, but it's 2,000 horses on the grounds at any given point in time. In California, it's probably a little more than that, 2,200, 2,300. Arizona is a little bit of a smaller horse show at this point in time. It actually used to be the big winter circuit when I was a kid. It's actually where I showed. I lived in Texas, and we went to the Arizona circuit in the winter. It's a little bit smaller horse show now, probably 600 horses on the grounds there.
That's it.
Oh, that's all. Now, what makes these shows different? What sets them apart, makes them special compared to, you know, all the other shows out there?
What I think we do is deliver a great product, and we deliver a product that people know when they come to our horse show, regardless of what facility it is, even if it's a new facility, they know what they're going to get from us. We sort of found a niche market with the horse shows that Tom started in Florida back in the 80s. You know, there's a big circuit people may have heard of in Wellington or West Palm Beach. That's sort of the hoity-toity type area. And Tom really felt that there was a place for everybody else who had a horse and needed a horse show. So we really run the gamut with the shows we offer, from, you know, short stirrup or even beginner, you know, walk trot classes for the kid who may be at their very first horse show, all the way up to offering some of the richest Grand Prix in the country. You know, we run three classes during the year, actually four classes during the year that are $100,000 or more in prize money. So we really sort of reach out and get the whole market, I think. You know, we sort of say there's something for everyone. Maybe it sounds a little bit hokey, but it's absolutely true. A trainer can come to us and he can bring every horse in his barn because there's something for every customer to be able to show in.
Well, I know we're going to get to see, at least we're going to hop over and see one of your shows, because we're going to be down in Ocala for Chester Weber's driving event over the winter.
Oh, wonderful.
At the Oaks there. So we're going to be coming down for that. So you run, I think, at the same time, it looks like. So we're going to try and get over and see one of your shows as well. Maybe we could even talk to you about recording the morning show from there.
Perfect. Absolutely.
That would be kind of fun.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much.
You.
The website for you is hitsshows.com. That's HITSshows.com. You can find all the information with all the dates. And don't forget to check out the Pfizer Million. By the way, Pfizer is our sponsor today, so that works out well. And you can find that at HRTV, and just look at your local listings or go to HRTV. to find the listings for when that will play in your area. We appreciate you being on, Kristen.
Great. Thank you so much. I had a great time.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
See, now she was from Phoenix area, so, you know, she spent some time in Phoenix, so she probably knows about your gopher problem. She understands what you're going through.
Well,
she appreciates
everybody's heard about it at this point, Glenn, because they might have heard me screaming yesterday.
Well, let's do our commercial for Pfizer, and then our next guest is on the line all the way from Ireland, so we don't want to keep them waiting too long.
Absolutely. And if you could go ahead and do that commercial, because I don't have it. Wait, no, I found it.
Okay.
Here we go. thank you to Pfizer for being today's sponsor. Pfizer Animal Health is the leading manufacturer of animal health products in North America and international markets. Pfizer Animal Health's tried and true line of vaccines include West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine to help protect against equine West Nile virus, Innovator combination vaccines, and the FluVac Innovator vaccine line, and other many quality products. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. For more information about Pfizer Animal Health products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com, P-F-I-Z-E-R, AnimalHealth.com. And also, good news, Pfizer Animal Health is reintroducing Quest Plus gel dewormer. Quest Plus has been on back order and unavailable to horse owners and veterinarians for quite some time. Now the product is back on the market just in time for fall deworming to help protect horses against the tapeworm threat as well as other serious internal parasites. So for more information on Quest and Quest Plus, visit questhorse.com.
Okay, thank you, Jamie. Well, your guest is on the line and waiting. And I know you found this this ad and thought, we got to get them on because I know you would love to go over there and be at this.
You are not kidding. This is going to be trouble for all the horsewomen listening. We've got Martin Donahoe on from Gorsebridge Event Horse Sale. And, Martin, first of all, I would say good morning because that's what time it is with me. I don't know what time it is with you, so good afternoon, good evening, whatever that may be.
Yeah, good morning to you, and it's afternoon here in Ireland.
Okay. I should have checked what time it was there, so at least you've had your copy. Martin, tell us about this horse sale. What is it? What's going on, and what makes this sale so special?
Right. Well, this sale, it's called the Gorsebridge Go for Gold Sale. It's a select sale of 60 event horses, which we have put together from all over Ireland. So we have 60 of Ireland's best three-star or three-day event horses for sale at the one venue. An exciting bunch of horses. And they're all at the one venue to be sold on November the 3rd. They will come into the centre on November the 1st. And are there for viewing for the days preceding the sale. And then on the 3rd, we sell during a gala dinner and auction in a local hotel.
Okay, so it sounds like just a kind of a party weekend in Ireland, too. Now, you said these are all event horses. Are these, have these been competed? Are these prospects?
These are prospects. Yeah, they're prospects. They're mostly 4 and 5 year olds. And are some of Ireland's finest event prospects for the future. We've been lucky enough to sell a lot of good horses through our normal sales here in Gorsebridge, such as McKinley, Connacht, and Ballynoe Castle, and even at the weekend there was a horse that won a 2-star in Fairhill, a horse called Trading Aces. He's a horse by Cover's Diamond. He was sold in Gorsebridge as a 3-year-old. So a lot of the world's top-class eventers have come from our sales. And no fewer than 28% of the eventing medalists in the last Olympic Games were horses that were sourced at Gorsebridge. So we have quite a reputation for far-selling top-class eventers. But we've taken this sale a step further, and we've put 60 horses together. And our videos are available on our website, which is Gorsebridge Go for Gold. And all the videos can be seen.
Like, you know, I got to tell you, Martin, that, you know, it's been enough of a time sucker just looking at the photos. Now I'm going to have to go back and look at all the videos.
Yeah.
Because there's about 6 horses that I would like to buy.
Well, I can assure you when you see them in real life, or if you see them in real life, there'll be more than 6 that you'll want to buy. We have a very we have an exciting catalogue of horses, and I'm, you know, I'm not just, I know talk is cheap, but we can back that up, and when people see these horses, they will know that these are 60 of Ireland's finest event prospects to come under the hammer.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, just looking at these horses, I mean, they, you say they're 4 and 5 year olds, but most of them, I mean, from what I see, are already going over fences and they're already broke and trained and they're moving.
Yeah. Oh, they're ready. You know, they're ready to go into serious competitions. Nearly all of them would have competed in, you know, in intros, which is the start of our eventing campaign with these young horses, and novice, pre-novice events and so on, you know. So they're all ready to go to the next step, and hopefully some of them will reach 4-star level in not too many years.
Oh, there's some just absolutely amazing horses on here. And so these horses have, you say they are definitely, you know, Ireland's top horses, but that's actually proven too, because you guys have vet inspections. Tell us about the veterinary board that has been working on all these horses.
Yeah, well, we they've been selected initially by three of Ireland's well-known event specialists, and one of them is Chris Ryan. He's well-known in America through his hunting escapades. He's the master of the Scartine hunt here in Tipperary. He was one of our judges alongside Claire Ryan, who is a very well-known figure and has bought plenty of good eventers competing in America, and also has Sally Parkin. Sally is originally from the UK. She's now resides in Ireland. So those three have put this exciting catalogue of horses. They've picked them. They've been all vetted by a panel of our veterinary surgeons in Gore's Bridge, and they've all been x-rayed as well. So all the work is done. They're being selected, they've been vetted, they've been x-rayed. So all people have to do is to come and choose and buy one.
All right. I'm making a list. I'll have it by the end of this interview. I'll have the list of all the horses that I would like you to bid on for me. So you don't have to be there to get one of these horses.
Not really, but really and truly, I suppose, when you're making a purchase of this caliber, we would recommend that the people be there in person.
So can you test ride them?
You can, absolutely. They're available for 2 or 3 days prior to the sale to be ridden by prospective customers.
Okay. Oh, my gosh, one of the horses' name is Google It.
Yeah, perfect. A lovely grey horse, yeah.
Yeah.
A smashing horse he is.
Oh, yeah, that one's really nice. Oh, my gosh, they're all just fantastic. So you don't have to be present, but you would suggest that people go. So what do you think the average price for these horses is? What do they usually go for?
That's a very difficult question, and it's a question we've been asked a lot in the last few weeks. I mean, last year the sale, the prices were from 3,000 to 33,000 euro.
Okay.
So it's a very broad band. But this year, I suppose, we have a better catalogue of horses put together, so maybe the prices will reflect on that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, do people turn down bids, or is it pretty much every one of them goes?
No, I mean, we here in Ireland, we're a nation of sellers, you know, and that's people breed these horses and they produce these horses to sell them. Now, I don't expect people, they're not going to take small money for these horses, and they won't have to take small money for these horses. These potentially are a lot of these are potential 4-star eventers. So they won't have to take small money for them, and they won't, you know, if it's a disaster, they'll keep them, even though their main objective is to sell them. But because of the standard and because of their quality and so on, they won't take very small money for them, and they would be right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, with all the time breeding and everything, how do you get a horse into this sale?
Well, you would have had to apply early in the year, and we had four selection centres around Ireland, and we had almost 200 put forward, and we choose 60 from that 200.
Okay, so you have to go through, it's pretty rigorous trying to get a horse qualified.
It is, yeah, yeah.
Now, do I see Lucinda Green, I see on your homepage here, is she involved with the Gopher Gold
yes,
now?
Lucinda is part of our team here in Goresbridge, and she's recommending the sale to people, and she hasn't seen any of them in the flesh yet, but she has seen the videos and the photographs, and she's, in her own words, she's very excited about the sale.
Well, She's been on our eventing radio show over there with Chris a couple of times, and I know your sale's coming up on November 2nd and 3rd, and that is in, I guess it's County Wexford, Ireland. And
that's right, yeah.
Lucinda Green will be doing a live call-in show with Chris, our host here on the eventing radio show, on November 20th. So you could actually call in and talk to Lucinda at 2 p.m. Eastern. On November the 20th. So she's going to be over here with you first and then with us a little later in the month.
By the way, I
love your website, too. This is probably the best, most well-laid-out website I've seen in a long time.
Oh, well, that's very kind words, and we thank you for that. they're done by a young man starting in this business called Ty Ryan. That Ty Ryan is a famous name in the Scartine hunt in County Limerick. So that website was compiled by Ty Ryan.
So now I have a question. I was just at a carriage auction, the biggest carriage auction here in the United States, and there's hundreds of people there bidding tens of thousands of dollars on carriages, but there's no alcohol served. I assume you guys serve alcohol, and that's how the prices go up later in the evening. You want to have your horse last, right?
Yeah, well, the part of this auction, there's a gala dinner, and that means that people can book a table, and they can have a nice five-course meal. But if they don't want to do that, they can just come to the auction and be a bystander and drink plenty of Irish whiskey or Guinness.
See?
If that's what they would like.
See, Jamie, they know how to do it. They do it right over there. See, we have to drink soda, you know, and tea.
Yeah, well,
and
they know how
to get the bid up.
Yeah, we like him to drink just a little. Not to drink too much, but just to drink a little to open the purse springs.
I love that idea. I love that idea. So I'm about two-thirds of the way through your catalog, and we're going to let you go here in a minute because I know you're calling from overseas. But so far, number 8, 10, 12, 14, 15, 21, 22, 27, 28, 29, 31, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, and 42.
Did your husband get a raise?
I only got up to 42 since we've been talking,
I
would like to go ahead and put...
Yeah, well, we can recommend any of those horses to anybody. And I think, it hasn't been done. We did a sale last year. It was the first time we've done it. These kind of specialized sales have been done in Europe a bit in the last few years, but it last year was our first time to do it in Ireland. And we learned a lot from last year, and we've been putting this work into the sale since last year. And that's the end result is this catalogue with 60 of Ireland's top potential four-star horses.
Oh, they're absolutely fantastic. And you guys have done a great job. Where can people find out more?
Well, if they go to our website, which is goresbridgegoforgold.com. And that's goresbridgegoforgold.com.
All right, we'll link up to that. And, people, this is... if you didn't want an event horse before, you will now, and you'll be importing it from Ireland because these are definitely...
I think so, yeah.
the nicest.
But certainly anybody out there in America that wants to buy an Aventor, they really should be at this sale in Ireland next week. And as I said,
we can
totally recommend it, and there will be something for everybody in it. And that's, I say that without a shadow of a doubt. And you
know, as I
said, at the end of every rainbow, there's a crock of gold. So the crock of gold is in County Wexford on the 2nd and 3rd of November.
Okay. I just wanted to hear you say pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. That's that was awesome.
Well, there you got it.
All right, everybody, Gorse Bridge Gopher Gold. We're going to link up to that on our Facebook page, so you can go to Horses in the Morning, find the link to that, and everybody, please, go check it out. Go buy yourself a fancy event horse from Ireland. Bring these nice horses to the U.S., please. And everybody over there, good luck to you. Thank you so
and
much,
thank
Martin.
You.
We really appreciate it.
And thank you very much.
All right. Talk to you
soon. Bye.
Well, that was great.
Oh, my God.
And Jennifer already put in a bid for number 7 and 10, she says. So she's just
getting started. I'm telling you.
And you know what?
We
have two more guests, and I guarantee you they're not going to be on the air. You and I are just going to be over here flapping around, talking about nothing, because Jennifer's busy now looking at videos. See what you started?
I'm telling you, since I got off the phone, I stopped, I think, with number 31 with him. I also want 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 42, 44, 48, 49, and 50. And I'm just now currently looking at 51. And, yes, I'll take that one, too. Wow, that was – you guys,
all right.
Look at these pictures.
I have a question,
and these jumps. My God.
I have a question, though. He had a terrific, classic Irish accent. If he is the auctioneer, how the hell are you going to understand anything he's auctioning during the auction?
Well, typically what happens, Glenn, is I don't know what your experience purchasing things at auctions have been, but especially horses, I have bought 2 horses from auctions, and I get a little excited when it comes to bidding. And I am quite sure that when I bought a yearling from a sale, I'm pretty sure I bid against myself several times. Like they were like, and who's going to give us $1,200? And they're like, and to the lady right there. Who's going to give us $1,300? To the lady right there in the front. $1,400. The lady in the front. $1,500. Anybody? I'm like, me. I want that horse. It's awful. There's a reason people have buyer's agents, because I am pretty sure I upped that yearling filly's price by at least $800 bidding against myself.
We love coming up in February. There is a draft horse sale. It's huge. In Pennsylvania, they hold it at the farm show grounds because it's so big. They have hundreds of draft horses that go through there, and they also do halflingers, and they have hundreds of them that go through there. And I love just going sit and watching that thing and watching the draft horses go through. You see some extraordinary things. I bought my last draft horse there. It was the second to last draft horse to go in the sale. We were there from 7 o'clock in the morning. Our whole horse sold at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's the one I bought. So I know about sitting at horse sales for sure, but that would be fun. They obviously do it right over there. When you look at the pictures of the hotel they have it in and everything, and the facility you can test ride the horses at, this is a nice place. This is a nice, well-run auction for sure. Sounds like fun.
I mean, looking at these names, I mean, this is where Mary King gets her 2 Rolex winners from. You know, I mean, this is like the top horses. So again, I have made notes, and after number 35, still 36, 37, 32, 39, 42, 44, 48, 49, 50, 51, and 59. I would like all of those pieces.
Well,
I love it.
You better hope your husband got a raise there flying F-16s in the middle of the desert. You're going to need it. Let's do a little song while you continue looking through the videos, and I'll go over and smack Jennifer on the top of the head and get her attention back. We are going to play a song. I didn't have any about Irish or Ireland that I was allowed to play. So I thought, you know, let's just play one about the bayou down there in Cajun Country in Louisiana, which, by the way, Jennifer is making
me
hungry for that.
Hold up. You have an entire collection of Celtic music sitting right in front of you, created by one of our listeners, Shay, and you come up with an On the Bayou song? I'm disappointed in you, Glenn.
Sorry. Sorry, Shay. Hey, trying to spread out the music a little bit.
Okay.
And besides, I was thinking about food, and I was thinking about, you know, we have this great Cajun restaurant in town now, and I was thinking we're going to go there and get some etouffee tonight, and that's what got me thinking about,
Yum. You
know, Cajun music, and so I'll just shut up and play it now. On the Bayou by Trish Lynn. You can find all of her music at trishlynn.com. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings. Today we are sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. You can find all of their products at pfizeranimalhealth.com. And that reminded me of the name of that restaurant is Bourbon and Toulouse. If you are coming in for the All-Tech National Horse Show next week, there's this little tiny Cajun restaurant. If you're hungry for Cajun, some gumbo, some of the best gumbo in town, is a little new restaurant called Bourbon and Toulouse. Plan on going to get it to take out because they only have like 3 tables and it's packed all the time. But take it back to your hotel and have some great Cajun. And you can just look that up on the internet when you come into town. And speaking of the All-Tech National Horse Show, we have our regular Tuesday segment here. And we have Elizabeth Bagby with us today to talk about the horse show coming up and some things that they're going to be doing over there. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Okay, so you've had a couple titles over there at Alltech, but I think you're now the strategic partnership manager, right?
You got it.
Well, that's a
big
heck
title,
of a lot,
very little work.
I was just going to say, that's a heck of a lot shorter than your last title. North American
well,
Marketing Manager and Consumer Brands Manager. It's like you can't even fit that on a business card.
Yeah, I know. I used to do the beer. Consumer Brands Manager allowed me to promote our Kentucky Ale, so I'm a little upset I don't get to do that anymore, but they still let me into the pub, so that's the important thing.
Well, there's plenty of that. You can find you'll be able to find that ale anywhere you go around Lexington when you come
including
into the
Bourbon and Toulouse. Yeah, including at Bourbon and Toulouse, which is a great place.
Have you eaten there?
Absolutely. Love Cajun.
Oh, that is the best Cajun place in town. And they've been getting a lot of press lately, and rightly so. And it's just these two guys behind there working their little butts off. But they serve terrific food. Well, Elizabeth, this is coming up next week.
Yeah, I'm really excited. First time in Kentucky.
And this, of course, we're talking about the Alltech National Horse Show at the Alltech Arena over at the Kentucky Horse Park. It starts next week. I think it's the 2nd, right?
That's right. It starts on Tuesday, goes through Sunday. There are hunter jumper and show jumping competitions every day, day and evening sessions. And we've got our fantastic Equus Pavilion. We've got a kids' educational area. I don't know, Glenn, if you had an opportunity to go to the Alltech World Equestrian Games last year, but we're really focused on making sure that kids are engaged in that event, engaged with horses. And at this event, there's really going to be something for everyone. And there's parking outside the Alltech Arena, so you can pull up, park, and walk right inside and enjoy yourself for a whole day.
I wanted to talk to you about that. Yes, I was at the World Equestrian Games every day. So you guys did a lot for the kids over there, Alltech did, and I know that you're going to be doing something. So tell us a little more about what's going to be going on for the kids at the national show.
Well, so we have this whole educational area, and you're going to learn about everything from seeing a horse skeleton to learning a little bit more about agriculture and where our food comes from. So really there's a whole range of things for the kids to do, including the little jumps that you saw at the games where they can actually go and do the horse jumps themselves. Although I really think this competition also, Glenn, I mean, even if you're not a horse enthusiast, which of course at Alltech we all are, but you can really enjoy a show jumping competition. You know, you can really watch the horses in action. This competition on Sunday has the McClay, which is a final in jumping for under 18-year-olds. It really shows these kids and the horses at their best, and I think there's going to be something for everyone. There is also a lot of shopping at the event, so for me personally, I'm definitely going to put my niece and nephew in the kids' area, have them enjoy themselves, and then I'm going to go around and do a little shopping.
Yeah, I heard there's like 60 vendors going to be there.
There are more than 40 vendors coming in, everything from hats that you can get for next year's Derby to equine-themed and regular clothing, jewelry, I mean, just all sorts of different things. I think it's going to be a really great day out. So I think for your fall this year, we've done our Keeneland, we're finishing up our Keeneland season, and now we're going to do the National Horse Show.
See, now, it was hats. Jennifer, my wife, you know, she's not totally big into hats. I'm the one that's big into hats. I must own a dozen hats, and every time we go someplace, I see a cool hat, I have to buy it. So I'm the one in this household that gets picked on about hats. I know that's
excellent. I think you should work that hat, and I think the National Horse Show is a great place to do it. I mean, you have the hats at the Derby, but, you know, that's really ladies' hats. I think we need to see the men coming out a little bit stronger with hats. And after all, this event started in 1883 when a gentleman would not be caught dead near Madison Square Garden where the event started without his hat on. So, Glenn, I think you should show up in full chapeau.
I will. I'll be wearing one of my hats.
Elizabeth, I think you're misunderstanding Glenn. He loves the big frilly derby hats. When he likes hats, I think pink roses, I think veil, I think taffeta, I think something very bright and colorful. Glenn, that has your name all over it. You need to go to this horse show and get yourself a derby hat.
Uh-huh.
Or a
yeah,
fascinator.
Okay.
Isn't that the thing that Princess Kate wears, the fascinator with the huge feather coming off the top?
Yes.
I think it's all you.
Yes. Brilliant.
Thanks.
Glenn's picking on me.
Arena, Glenn, but just if you're going to wear one of those big hats, make sure the people behind you can still see. I mean, it's a fantastic arena, and all of the seats are good seats, but if you're wearing a hat that's more than 3 feet tall, there may be some issues. So,
I got to tell you, I'm not just saying this because your name's on the arena. It is one of the best arenas. There is not a bad seat in that house, and I've been to some pretty crappy arenas to watch horse shows. This one, and I won't mention the names, but there's some of them still used. But this one is terrific. There really, truly is not a bad seat in the house. And it's very, you know how some arenas you go into and they almost feel claustrophobic the way they're set up? the ceilings aren't high enough, and, you know, it just seems claustrophobic with all those people in there. You never get that feeling at the Alltech Arena there at the park.
Well, thanks for saying that, and I think, you know, horse enthusiasts, and especially this hunter jumper and show jumping crowd, they will be there rain or shine, no matter if it's an indoor or outdoor arena. But in this case, we're lucky because we have this beautiful, you know, state-of-the-art footing for these horses, and no matter what the weather looks like, there's going to be something for everyone. And I think especially at this event, you know, we're going to have live music as you walk in, we're going to have all the vendors, we've got the kids' play area. So I think that there are so many different things to do, and, you know, while enjoying this horse show that started in 1883, you know, the oldest indoor horse show in the United States. So I really think there's going to be something for everyone.
And something we didn't mention here on the show yet is that some of the ticket sales go to charities, which is kind of cool.
Absolutely. There's actually a different charity identified for each evening. And so you have such a range that are going to host, but half of the proceeds for tickets every night go to that charity. So you have everything from our local folks, the Lexington and Louisville Mounted Police. You know, we have got to have, in our home state of Kentucky, we have really got to have those folks supported and have those mounted patrols out. So they are getting the support. And then you also have, for example, Alltech's Sustainable Haiti Project, which is helping a group of coffee growers, you know, in Haiti have a sustainable business and continue to support those families. You've got the United States Equestrian Team Foundation, which sends our folks to the Olympics. And we have 7 Olympic riders that are competing at this event. So I think it's really exciting, and I give you know, props to the National Horse Show, who really moved that forward and brought those charities in. And all those charities are going to be represented there also, so you can learn more. You know, we hope you'll donate and support those guys.
All right. And Jennifer, what was last week's question that we had for giving away tickets?
Last week's question was, what former champion horse and rider team of the National Horse Show was also featured on a famous late night TV show?
Ooh, me, ooh.
All right, Jamie.
I got it. Okay, I would say, who is Harry Dallaire and Snowman?
Is that right?
That's
wait,
correct.
Wait.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
that is
correct.
I just
read the book.
And did we have a winner?
We have
two winners. Who was our winner?
We have two winners. Aubrey Miller and Susan Nelson both got the correct answer. So Aubrey and Susan will each get a pair of general admission tickets to the Alltech National Horse Show to use on the day or evening of their choice.
Awesome.
All right, terrific.
Way
and do we have a question? Do we have a question for this week? I know we're getting a little close to the event.
We do have a question for this week. Okay. I'm sure there's always a way to get tickets to folks. Today's question is, let me find it on here so I can get it right. The spiffy new Alltech Arena, where the show is being held and also includes the educational pavilion, how many seats are in the Alltech Arena?
And they should be able to find that with a little bit of research, I think, because
yeah,
I know
that
they published
that. That one's not too hard.
Just kidding. I don't know that one. That one's really hard.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing everybody. If you are coming in for the Alltech National Horse Show and listen to the show right now, drop us a note. Drop me a note at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. Let us know you're coming. We'd love to see you if we're over there recording at the same time. We're going to be attempting to do the morning show live from there next Friday. So we will be hopefully coming to you live from the Alltech National Horse Show on the 4th. We're going to see how the internet connection holds up and how all that technology works over at the arena. But that's the plan right now. And, of course, Chris will be recording a jumping radio show from the Alltech National Horse Show over there at next week. So thank you so much, Elizabeth. We look forward to seeing you over there next week.
Thanks, you guys. Look forward to seeing you there.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. We're hoping to get this done for next week and be coming to you live from there. Chris will be my co-host next Friday because we had to find somebody that knew a little bit about jumpers and how all that works, and I was not qualified. So.
What is that supposed to mean? You had to find somebody that knew about jumpers? Like, I did not just get the trivia question right, and it's about a jumper? Hello?
I totally knew that. You Googled it. You read the book.
I just read the book. How did I have to Google it?
That's
jerk
funny.
Face. Ugh, I'm sick of you today. What's wrong with you? You're so mean.
And Bourbon Solis, I do recommend it. It's really good. And now I definitely know what we're having for dinner tonight. Hey, Glenn Forrester has some recommendations about your gopher issue. And
Really?
Yeah, he says modern emissions controls means that there's very little carbon monoxide in emissions anymore. So you could run the engine for days and not kill the little buggers. He says definitely use a diesel. And he said one of his neighbors uses liquid manure in the holes. And I wrote to him and said, ooh, liquid manure, does that stink them out? And he wrote, nope, fills the tunnels and drowns them. So what I think you've got to do is get a big muck tub, all right? Get your big muck tub out. And in the muck tub, you go gather all the manure piles up from the field. You want it pretty pure and pretty, you know, you want the real stuff. Gather it all up, put it in the muck tub, and then take great quantities of grain alcohol. And you pour the grain alcohol like moonshine. Pour it over the top of the manure and make like a slurry. Get a big mixer, like the old witches do in the cauldrons. You might even want to heat it up. That would even work better. So then put a big fire underneath it, and you stir it up real good. And then you take some of that liquid alcohol manure. Scoop the fire. You'll burn the place down. Just mix it up. And then start pouring it down the hole. I think that's perfect, Glenn.
When you start talking, do you think about what you're going to say before you say it, or do you just start talking?
I pretty much just start talking, and then whatever comes out, comes out.
Yeah. The poop soup idea. Is our guest on yet? Is Victoria here? Anybody? Hello?
Nope, nobody here yet. Just you and me.
Do you know that Pfizer Animal Health is going to pull their sponsorship at this point because of today? Awesome. Hey, you know what is also funny, Glenn, is that I have I live on at least three and a half acre farm, and my dogs are outside, and there's 3.5 acres that they can roam around on, and guess where they are? About 6 inches from me, just outside the door. So if you hear barking or scratching or me yelling, get off the door, that's because all that room, and they have to sit right there next to the door, dying to come inside. Ugh, it's driving me crazy.
Wait, you know what's going to happen? Is the homeowner's lady, she's going to be knocking on your door about Boomer next. Or has the collar really started to work?
No, I couldn't figure out why it didn't work yesterday. It's because the batteries died, so I had to recharge it last night. So today is going to be a new day because he did run away yesterday down the canal after some ladies riding horses.
You are so going to get kicked out of that neighborhood. You're so out. You're going to be gone.
I am that guy again. I'm always that guy. Oh, it sucks.
Hey,
that guy.
Show jumping. Speaking of show jumping starts at the Pan American Games tomorrow. They did their jog ups yesterday, and the five horses for the United States team all passed. So tomorrow starts show jumping at the Pan American Games, and they'll be doing team and individual competitions there as well. They have a coach that's fairly well known. I guess you might have heard of George Morris. So he is chef to keep and sort of coaching them along. And, McLean Ward is there, BZ Madden is there, and the list goes on and on. So we have some big names down in Mexico right now getting ready to compete down there for that. Another big name in show jumping did something fun, and that's Margie Engel won the $75,000 FEI World Cup Qualifier Grand Prix. Did that Penn National up at the Penn National Horse Show. She won the big class, and this was her first time to win that particular class. However, get this, Jamie. Margie Engel has won 196 Grand Prix.
What? She has won 196?
Yes. Okay. Can you imagine the dollar amount attached to that?
Well, I was going to say 196, and what is the average retail price for one of these Grand Prix?
Probably 20,000-30,000.
So times, let's see if it's, because I was go with 20,000 to not be ridiculous. 12, 18, 18. That's almost $300,000. And that's with the Just 20. And we know that those are Budweiser $100,000 ones. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there you go. So that's that. And also something else while we're waiting for our next guest here is that the USDA has finally closed the loophole on transporting horses in a double-deck trailers. And what they did say is you couldn't transport horses in double-deck trailers when they were going to slaughter in other countries, like they're heading north or south. But one of the loopholes was that the truck drivers would take them, drop them off at a farm somewhere, wait an hour, go back and pick them up, and then they could say that they weren't directly transporting them. So they've pretty much just said you can't do it anymore. So that's good. The USDA came through with that rule. I mean, that doesn't mean they're not going to be getting them there, but at least they won't be treated totally inhumanely on the way.
No, the whole thing is just terrible.
I know.
Hey,
I know.
On a good note, is let's see, what is the date today? Today is the 25th. So we have, not this weekend, but the next weekend, I believe, is the Breeders' Cup, which, again, is just getting more and more exciting. Not only is, we talked yesterday about Shackelford's going to do the Breeders' Cup Mile. He won the Preakness. And we talked a little bit about the different races. Well, Havre de Grace, Stay Thirsty, Uncle Mo, Blind Luck, Tisway, To Honor and Sir, all these horses are potentially going to run in the Breeders' Cup Classic. This is going to be an amazing race. I am a huge Uncle Mo fan, as you know, because we're like best friends on Facebook. But also Havre de Grace is that filly who has just been amazing. And Blind Luck is the filly, too. And both of these fillies have been just awesome. So who's your pick, Glenn?
Boy, that's a tough one. I'd love that. That's going to be a good race if they all end up in there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like so many of them in that group. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be just awful. So bad.
I might have
to
bet across the board.
Bid.
I just might have to do an across the board bet and be done with it.
With who?
With four or five of them that you named. I just might have to put them all in because I don't know. I'm kind of indecisive when it comes to betting. It's like, close my eyes and point. I can't
see. See, and I would love I would absolutely love to bid on this, but why curse that horse? Because it has been proven time and time again that if I bid on your horse, it will then come in dead last. So
don't bid on Uncle Mo.
Yeah. Not going to happen. Havre de Grace, Uncle Mo, Stay Thirsty. Oh, there's a horse possibly entered named Headache. I like that. I've never heard of it. The thing is, Stay Thirsty is a son of Bernardini. And who did Bernardini get bred to this year? None other than Zenyatta. So that would bring the stock up for that horse. I don't know. I could talk about this all day. I could do, you need to give me a Breeders' Cup show so I can do, go to the Breeders' Cup and talk about it. And maybe do a live broadcast from there. What do you think?
Yeah, the press passes for the Breeders' Cup are a little hard to come by.
Oh, well. Maybe Victoria can get us there.
The networks, ESPN, stuff, all get those press passes. Horses in the morning, not so much.
Yeah, I know. I'm used to it. It's just radio. But maybe Victoria Spicer she carries a little more weight. She's got TV. She's from horseandcountry.tv.
That's true.
So maybe Victoria and I can go to the Breeders' Cup. She is on the line now. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. I was noticing, since we're like Facebook friends now and everything, that you were jumping your horse with an invisibility cloak.
Yes, that's right. He, my horse has been off injured all summer, and he's gone away for rehabilitation schooling because he's really badly cut his leg, and so this is him being brought back into fitness. And the people that are looking after him did some loose jumping with him, and so sent me some photos. So I posted them on Facebook and said that was me jumping with an invisibility cloak.
Oh, my God. I laughed so hard because listening to her, you think of, it's Harry Potter anyway, and they must sell those over there, invisibility. I see these pictures.
picture, Glenn, of this horse, I mean, jumping phenomenally over this whole, they call it loose jumping, we call it free jumping, and there's Victoria's little caption, my horse jumping, and me wearing my invisibility cloak.
So Victoria, do you resemble Hermione? Is that what Jamie's saying?
I wish. She's about 10 years younger than me, unfortunately, so I don't resemble Hermione, I'm afraid, but I would quite like a bit of that Harry Potter magic when it comes to my jumping. That would certainly help.
I know, it would help all of us. That's what I'm saying. I need to go over there and buy one of those. Where do I get them? It's like not the Hog's Breath Saloon, Hogsmeade. I got to go to that. I got to take platform 4.5 or whatever.
9 3/4.
<I'm>
close. Yes, it was very nice to see my horse back in action, and it's been interesting listening to you talking about the Breeders' Cup, because as we talked about a few weeks ago, my horse is by Rahi, the American Stallion, and we're sending a horse over called Strong Suit, who's taking part in the Breeders' Cup, who's also by Rahi, so I'm going to be cheering him on.
Oh my God, it's your horse's brother is totally, and Rahi passed away. Rahi was a stallion very well known for producing sprinters that stood over at Three Chimneys, Glenn, right down the street from you, for a very, very long time. I mean, he was there at the same time as Seattle Slough. So he's been there forever. He was there forever, and I believe he did pass away. So this has got to be one of his last runners, huh, Victoria?
I'd imagine so, actually, yes. So it's been really interesting to watch him this season, because he's had quite a few big wins, including at Royal Ascot when the Queen was there. So, yeah, he's a talented horse. So we're excited about him, and we're also cheering on another mare who's running in the race called Goldakova, and she's been a real superstar. So watch out for her as well.
Oh, my God, Goldakova is going to be in the Classic, too? Oh, this race is getting better and better.
I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we've got, what's your horse's brother's name?
Strong Suit. He's a lovely chestnut, just like mine, but a little bit faster. So, yeah, watch out for him.
Yeah, okay, so is he running in the Classic?
I think so. I think he's running in the Classic.
Okay.
Oh, no, he's running in the Mile, apparently. I'm finding that out from good authority.
Oh, he's running the Mile, so he'll be against Shackleford. Okay. Well, it would make sense. Rahi's babies, you know, they're sprinters, so
yeah.
A Mile is about as far as they probably want to go. Well, good. We'll definitely keep an eye on those as well. And just to touch a little bit about what's been going on over in Europe, I love logging on to horseandcountry.tv because you never know what you're going to see on the front little window when the pictures pop up. And we've talked about this a little bit, but I guess it's getting closer to finished. And the first picture that pops up is Mary King naked.
That's correct. This is a story that's been out for a little while over here, and it's a charity calendar. And I don't know if you guys saw a film a few years back called Calendar Girls, and which was about ladies in the Women's Institute who did a calendar of naked photos, very tasteful naked photos, I should add, and they raised lots of money. And this is basically eventing's equivalent. So there's lots of show jumpers, eventing riders, jockeys, and dressage riders who have been brave enough to strip off, and they've made this charity calendar for a really good cause. It's raising money to help a rider called Claire Lomas, who was sadly left paralyzed following a cross-country fall. So it's a very good cause, and I'm sure if any American listeners want to buy the calendar, they can do so. And all the details are on our website.
Okay. Do you have more I mean, who else is in it? Are there any eventing dudes in it?
Yes, Mark Todd is rather famous with Blythe Tate, so they've all come back into action after retirement, and now they're posing for calendars as well. And as well as Mary King, we've also got Lucinda Green and then Piggy French and lots of good people.
Is there a rider from Argentina named Jose Ortelli in this calendar?
I don't think
Sorry.
So, but it sounds like he should be in the calendar.
Yes, definitely. I would like to put in a request for that. sorry, I need to forget that
people can listen. All right. So what else is going on over there in Europe? I know that you guys had a international horse show, I think, and I don't know. Tell me about it.
Well, there's been lots going on in the continent, not so much in Britain at the moment, because it's a funny time of year. We've had Horse of the Year show a few weeks ago, and our next really big competition isn't until just before Christmas, when we have a show called Olympia, which lots of top international riders come to. So at the moment, all our riders are going off to Europe instead and competing over there. And it's the start of the World Cup series, and so two of our riders have just been doing really well at international competitions. One is Emil Fari, who's a very good dressage rider, and he's just sort of made it back onto the British team after a bit of an absence, and he's just been winning the Grand Prix special out in France, and so that's very exciting, following our European Championships medals. So he's doing very well. And the other person who we're keeping an eye on is Richard Davison, who has been part of the British dressage team for a couple of decades, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying. And he is currently lying second in the World Cup dressage rankings. So we're very proud of him.
I think we just lost Victoria. Oh, she's still here.
We lost Jamie, actually. So
we've got Victoria.
Yeah, Jamie has disappeared on us, so I'm sure she'll be back. So, Victoria, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is we had covered earlier or late last week about show jumper Tim Stockdale was injured. Is there any report on how he's doing? Because he broke his neck in two places, right?
He did, which is very sad news. He's such a popular rider, and he does so much for the sport. And he fell off trying a young horse. I think he'd gone to see it to potentially buy it, and he's ended up being really badly injured. He's still in hospital, but reports are that the prognosis should be good, and we're hoping that he can make a safe return to the saddle. And after a period of recovery, and he's been pointing out just how much support he's had and well wishes from fans, and he's been inundated on Facebook. So do check out his Facebook page, Tim Stockdale, and send him some well wishes as well.
All right, cool. And also, what is Rudel's Roundup?
Rudel's Roundup is our new show, and we're very excited about it. Basically, Jenny Rudel and myself go off to all these great shows like Horse of the Year show, and we create a show based on interviews and little video clips and behind the scenes things, and we have we find out about people's careers and their life outside horses, and it's a great show. The first episode aired a couple of weeks ago, and that was reports from the Greenwich Test event. So definitely worth going onto Horse and Country's website and having a watch of that, and you can see a little bit of what's to come next summer. And Jenny filmed in Greenwich Park, so you can see a little bit of the location and the gorgeous views over London. So do watch that. And the next show is airing this weekend, and that's going to have all the coverage that we got from the National Dressage Championships as well as Horse of the Year show.
So it's going to be a regular show? It's going to come out every week, or...?
We'll hopefully have a new episode every month, and it will be featuring sort of whatever's been happening in the horse world, so all the latest big competitions in Britain.
So I'm watching it. You're the blonde one in the show?
No, that's Jenny. The glamorous
okay.
Jenny Rudel.
I'm trying to find you in here.
I stay on the other side of the camera. Very sexy.
Ah, I see how you are. So were you in TV before you started this?
No, I worked in magazine publishing, so my first job out of university was at Horse and Hound. So I spent a few years there, and then I moved across to Horse Magazine, which is a sister title to Horse and Hound, but a few less hounds, a lot more horses.
Okay, so this is your first dive into TV, too. Well, I can tell you're doing terrific on your updates here at Horses in the Morning. We really appreciate you being involved, and, of course, everybody can find all of the cool videos. I gotta watch this one actually with the sound on here now when this is over. It's horseandcountry.tv, and I guarantee you will waste a lot of time today. And if you're at work, why not? You know, kill some time on Horse and Country TV. Do you guys have any numbers on how many people actually watch at work and don't get their job done?
Not enough. I think more people should be watching at work instead of doing their jobs.
All right, great. Thank you, Victoria. We appreciate you being on with us again today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye. Jamie, do we have you back?
I'm back, but I'm on my phone.
Oh, your internet died, huh?
Yeah, it just decided to die, and this is what Chad was working on last night until about 11 p.m., so I'm really excited it lasted this long.
And poor Chad got injured playing baseball.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the internet problem, before we get to his injury, the internet problem is related somehow to the Gophers. I'm blaming them for everything.
They're eating your internet wires now.
I'm pretty sure. They must be in this room.
That's because they've eaten everything they can eat underneath your grass. So they're actually going to be moving into your house next.
They have burrowed up through the floorboards, and they're currently chewing on my wires. Amazing. yeah, Chad got injured in this baseball game. We had a little marital discussion, Glenn, and I'm sure that this has happened with you guys because, you know, being a horse husband, you have to retain your identity. So I said to him, I said, you know, you're working hard on the farm all the time. Every time you come home, you go to do a chore. And I said, I want you to be happy. I want you to do what you want to do. And I think that at some point you need to find something to go do that you love outside of the farm. Like, you know, play.
Aren't you the good horse wife?
I try. So I told him, I said, I need you to just find something you want to do. Well, he found something. He signed up to play. Chad was a baseball player in college. We are huge baseball fans. Does not mean at the age of 30-something that you should play. But he signed up to be on a men's baseball league. And we're talking, like, real pitching. This is not softball. This is hardcore baseball. There's, like, some former minor leaguers in this league and everything because we're in kind of spring training, you know, area, so guys play on these year-round teams, and he signed up for a pretty hardcore team. Well, my husband sustained an injury, and it's nasty.
What happened?
It's actually really, really gross. So,
can we say it on the air?
You can say it on the air. It's just gross looking. He was hit by a pitch, and these guys. You always see the people get hit by a pitch in a baseball game and they drop to the ground. They're like, oh, like a soccer player. Like, oh, my God, I'm so much pain. And then they get up and they jog down to first base. Well, it must hurt because he wasn't hit by a 104-mile-an-hour fastball. He was just hit by a guy throwing, like, 65 miles an hour. And when he was standing at the plate and the guy pitches the ball and it comes to hit him and he turns, like, you know, away from the ball, and the ball hit him in the back of the thigh.
Ugh.
It is the most disgusting bruise I have ever seen. It's like it's like 10 times baseball size. The whole back of his thigh is bruised, and he's in pain, and he can't even fly the airplanes right now. They're not allowed to fly with contusions.
Well, you know, and that's probably a good thing, because can you imagine the G-forces put on the hurdy part of your body? Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, he's not supposed to fly, and it's all because I encouraged him to go out and play with the boys. So it's pretty much my fault.
Well, you know, he could have been out drinking. At least this way he gets to some physical activity.
This is true. Sunday morning baseball. There you go. Go, honey. Have fun. I'm going to sleep in.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We appreciate you being here. We'll be back again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Eastern, with another good show for you. Of course, tomorrow, as always, thehorse.com joins us for some gory, gross stuff. And if you're into gory, gross stuff, tune in tomorrow. And also, I'm sure we'll have some other guests. Thank you, Jennifer, for booking all the guests we had on there today. Appreciate that also. And thank you to all our guests for being here. And thank you to the Gophers for providing endless entertainment here on Horses in the Morning. What are we going to do when the Gophers move out?
It's not funny. I don't think you're funny at all.
Oh, by the way, one last comment here. from Aubrey Miller chimed in on the gopher situation and said, according to Car Talk, one of my favorite shows on PBS, with Click and Clack and Tappet Brothers, said, though the carbon monoxide is down in emissions, it was replaced with carbon dioxide, which is even more poisonous than this carbon monoxide. So Click and Clack claim it will work, no problem. So you don't have a problem either way. Use your car, use your truck, just kill those gophers. Are you having one overnighted? Did you order it yet?
I haven't ordered it yet. My internet's down, so I'm just going to have to get the number from you and call it.
All right. Take care, Jamie. You have a good day fighting the gophers.
All right, everybody. Have fun. Spay, neuter, geld, and murder gophers.
All right. We'll see you, everybody. We'll see you at Peelers.